Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
And hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Barrett and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome back to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm John Senecal, along with my partner Brian Shackman. And it's been a little while since we've talked, Brian. What have you been up to?
Me? I got my tickets to go to Fenway.
That's good. That's good. That's great, actually, because we're going to be fans in the stands.
Yeah, so, but they didn't, about the Red Sox, I always go to opening day with my wife. We've done it for the last 15 years, and the buying opportunity was without opening day. So we still don't know exactly.
So you're not going to opening day?
No, but I got tickets to go. I think I'm going to the Miami Marlins game, and I had some problems logging in. I got pretty good seats. They have sort of dynamic pricing, so the tickets actually weren't that expensive. And it's going to be weird, though, because right now it's slated to be 12% capacity. So if you take it at 40,000, I mean, we're talking between 4,000 and 5,000 people, right? And we're going to have certain distances. So I don't know what it's going to look like.
They might not know what it's going to look like.
Yeah. My wife was like, can we go up close to the field? And like, I bet they're going to make us like lock down where
we
are.
No, I don't think you're going near the field.
And what's it going to be like concession-wise? When you have 4,500 people, like, am I gonna have to walk a half a mile?
It's gonna be like going to a Rock Cats game.
No, you think they'll have everything open? Do you really?
I think they will. I mean, we've been grocery shopping for a year. They'll figure it out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited to be able to go back. The downside is Fenway with 39,000 people is awesome, but Fenway's tight and not always that comfortable. And I'm kind of like,
you can be able to lounge.
I'm just excited to like put an arm here and arm there. And
that would be nice.
Kick back. So if it's a good weather day, it's going to be flipping awesome.
Now, are they requiring any sort of testing or anything? Because the Yankees, the New York just announced their guidelines.
To my knowledge, no.
All right. So New York announced their guidelines. The Yankees and Mets are going to be 20% capacity, and they're going to require
a
COVID test. Now, it doesn't say if they're going to be giving them a rapid test at the game, at the facility yet. That's TBD. But you're going to at least have to produce a test, a negative test. I don't know. They haven't even said when and how long.
Wow.
Or that you've been vaccinated, which raises another issue as to saying like, oh, well, you're only favoring people that have been able to get the chance to get vaccinated.
Interesting. Well, by opening day, I mean, I bet there'd be, 30% of the population plus will be vaccinated. So you have to have your papers.
It's your
like
papers.
It's like World War II.
You got to go get the papers. He always said it two times.
Yeah, that's right.
You got not much different than the Red Sox, because you said the Red Sox are around 4,000. They're at 12%. And the Yankees are going to be 20%. And they usually hold like, 50, a little under 50
so
there?
Like 10,000.
Yeah.
So it's going to be double. But let me ask you, is the pre-sale going to be, the pre-sale for the Red Sox was just season ticket holders.
I haven't seen anything. I didn't see anything
are
about
you
the tickets.
Go for it?
I don't know. I mean, you can buy tickets now for the Yankee game. I mean, I'll wait. I'm just going to wait. I don't really like going to games this early anyways, because you don't know what you're going to get.
Right. Here's the thing. It's funny that we just are learning the secondary ticket market for every team is off the charts. Like, supposedly for Orioles opening day, it's like $500-$600.
I believe it. People just want to go to baseball.
Right,
games.
And there's demand and supply is so tight that people are going to be tempted to move those tickets. Now, even if I could sell them for a couple $100, I think I'm still going to go. But if you really want to see how much people want to get back to the ballpark, go to StubHub or whatever and take a look.
$500 to take a selfie in the second deck.
Right. That's not
to say you were there for the first game back.
Right. Well, that's pretty cool, actually. I mean, I guess I
only $500.
When you put it that way, well, people have money. If people are buying digital sneakers and you know, all this
digital
crap
sneakers, it wasn't even a digital sneaker. It was like some guy's ramp for a year. $69 million.
Yeah, the point is, like, people have money and they don't know.
And I just read today that that guy sold another piece before that for like $6 million.
Well, players are like, Gronk just sold over $1 million worth of digital player cards. Mahomes is doing that.
Tawan Walker for the Mets just is like,
what are you thinking, people? Like, I understand it might be cool because you're young,
but MLB is in the process right now of getting it ironing this whole NFT
non-fungible token
NFT thing out, because the NBA jumped all over it.
Right.
And I remember saying, I don't know if I said it on this show, on this podcast, I can't remember if I just said it like in general, that the MLB has got to figure this out before opening day, because if you're not, someone's going to figure it out, and then you're going to be battling them. And
you're going to lose a lot of money.
Right, right. And apparently I just read a tweet just today that they are figuring it out, and it's, something's coming, and then more money. Great, more for players money. And more problems.
Soon my kids are going to want non-fungible tokens, and they're going to want a lot of money.
Well, they are going to want to go to the games, and hopefully they're going to be able to see some quality players. And there's some battles for the in spring training right now.
Yeah. So do you want me to start with my thoughts on the Sox, or you want to start with your thoughts on the Yanks?
I'll go with the Yanks.
Okay.
So basically it looks like there's two battles going on, a fifth starter and Jay Bruce and Mike Tauchman.
To make the team.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, because you're going to have Gardner will make the team.
Well, you can't. But so you can't designate Bruce. They'd have to release him, right?
Yeah, and I think his window to opt out or whatever is to be picked up.
I saw
someone's
going to
pick him up, though.
He hasn't played that.
No, Jay Bruce. Let's see. What does he got here? Where are we looking here? Jay Bruce, 20 at bats, 2 home runs, 3 RBIs, 5 runs, 2 walks. Tauchman, 238. 21 at-bats, 2 home runs, 3 RBIs, 7 Ks, though. 7 Ks. I mean, pretty similar, but the average is down. Tauchman is like, I don't know, late 20s. But, Jay Bruce is only 33 years old.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's been around a long time. So those guys...
But it looks like Jay Bruce right now.
What's the fifth starter? Who's it between?
Well, it's between... It looked like it was going to be...
Pretty well this week.
It looked like it was going to be between Domingo Germán and Devi Garcia, but it looks like Germán is like the front runner now. Germán has been lights out this spring. He really has. It's spring training, but 3 games, 9 innings, 5 hits, 1 walk, 13 Ks.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless if that's spring or not, he's not walking anybody. That's what you got to look at.
Wow, so
he's not wild.
The roster's that tight, though. It's really like all we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really it when it comes down to it, because you got Cole, you got Tyon, you got Kluber. You got Montgomery, because he's going to make the team. He's the only left-handed pitcher.
Right.
Right? So he's going to make the team. So then you got Germán or Devi Garcia. But the thing is about the Yankees, and we've seen this in the past, someone is going to get hurt. And Devi Garcia is young, and right. He can stand some time in AAA, and he's got options.
Segueing to the Red Sox, one thing you've learned about the Red Sox, they're deeper than they've been, which is good. Like Michael Chavis has had a great spring. His OPS is over 1,000, and he's got nowhere to play. That's because Bobby Dahl back at first base has been light. You know, he's got 5 home runs and just.
But Dahlbeck's a big prospect for the Red Sox.
Yeah, and he's it might be his time. But here's the thing: it's funny about the Red Sox. J.D. Martinez has over 30 at bats, 1 extra base hit, and then Devers.
Is he going into the? Is he bringing that funk to 2021?
Well, here's the thing: is that if you have J.D. Martinez and Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts play at least 90% to what they've been, the Red Sox are going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But Martinez is not impressed. Devers is hot and cold. He's terrible in the field sometimes. And, you know, it's hard to tell with Bogaerts, because he's such a vet now that he doesn't show you everything in spring training.
Right.
So it's hard to know.
Bogaerts, I think you're going to get what you're going to get with him every year regardless.
I mean, I love him, but I think that the pressure's on J.D. Martinez, actually. He's going to DH. He's going to get his at-bats. But, you know, guys like Michael Chavis have proven they belong on the team. There's just nowhere for them to play. So he's
I look at J.D. Martinez kind of the way I look at Gary Sanchez. Like, you have to perform. Like, J.D. Martinez has obviously had better numbers in the past, and he's been around longer than Sanchez, but it's like put up or shut up.
Yeah, and I don't even need him to be his all-star self. I want just 90% of what he had. But, you know, what I've seen 30-plus at-bats, and I've seen nothing from him yet. And I don't know if he's still getting into the groove, maybe the iPads in the dugout. I don't know.
But, there's no more excuses, though. He's going to get a full season,
right,
barring any craziness, injury, or crazy COVID outbreak again. They're going to play a full season, so right. He should be back to the old JD.
So you would hope so, but I haven't seen it yet. So the thing that I'm interested to see, you know, Bobby Dalbec start at first base, and that's going to be very interesting. And Eduardo Rodriguez has already been named the opening day starter. It's a really good comeback story. The pitching's, I mean, Eovaldi's hit 100 a couple times. I mean,
how was the rest of the rotation look?
It's very average.
Right.
Like, guys need to be at their best. So, I mean, I think basically what they're saying is
that could be said for the Yankees, though, because after Cole, guys just need to be at their best, because there's no guarantees there either.
Right. But it's different with the Red Sox because the expectations are different. If the Red Sox are within 5 of the wild card at the deadline, I think they'll go get us. They'll go get a top 3 star.
I would hope so.
So I mean,
I would really hope so.
And the hope is you get a guy who's got.
They can trade Jeter Downs.
I just don't like saying the name, so I'm not going to say it. The name that I won't say. But my point is that if they can pick up a pitcher who's got a couple years left at the deadline, then things look a little bit better. But I'm a little bit more encouraged by the young guys, and I'm a little more discouraged about the vets. That's the way my spring has gone.
Well, only time will tell. You know that. And everyone always asks me, what are they going to do this year? If the team stay healthy and the players stay healthy, they'll do what they should do.
Right. You could say that about 10 teams. There's 10 teams you could say that about in the majors. So, I mean, it's not saying a ton, but there's about 15 teams in baseball who are horrible, just horrible. And so my thing is, if you're a good manager, win the games you should win, and you'll be in contention. So the Red Sox, the AL East isn't bad, but, I mean, there's just a lot of bad teams out there. And so if you can beat those guys, you can do okay.
One of those bad teams is the Detroit Tigers.
They're terrible.
Yeah, and A.J. Hinch is their manager.
Yeah,
that smug A.J. Hinch.
Yeah, well, hopefully
Miguel Cabrera's new best friend.
Yeah, well, he's got to support him. I don't want to get too much into that, but I think Cabrera said that for a couple of reasons. Like, guys don't care if the guy's a good manager, but I think he said that to make sure that it's going to be a tough.
He's the vice president.
But you got to save the locker room.
Yeah,
and if he,
that's exactly
if
why he said
if he
it.
Says that, then the locker room won't cave on a guy like Hinch. So
and who's going to question Miguel Cabrera?
It was a classy veteran move to do, even if you hate Hinch.
Well, there's other moves being made in the minor leagues. Rule changes.
So tick off like 3 of the ones you want to talk about, and then we'll go through them one.
So the first one is really interesting because in AAA they're going to make the bases larger. Now people would say it's going from 15 inches squares to 18 inch squares, and people would say that's crazy. But if anyone has ever watched a slow mo replay of someone stealing a base, especially second base, which happens more often than first, obviously, third, it does come down.
To the corner, yeah.
And it comes down to that 3 inches. So the hope is in AAA that it will increase the attempts and increase the volume of stolen bases.
Two questions. One is, do you think it actually will, and will managers actually manage to that? Like, will managers get more aggressive based on that, just to see, just for S&Gs?
I would say yes, because the game has incredibly become a game of less than inches. Right. It really has. The players are so dang fast, they slide over the bases as it is.
But there's no money ball metrics on what the impact will be. So that,
that's
what's fascinating, because you can't go back to some history about, you know, the odds or, you know, how much it increases the percentage you could make it. You know, I like it because it's an unknown.
Does that mean, you know, Luke Voit is going to be stealing bases? No. But does that mean that Tyler Wade could get 10 more stolen bases in a year?
Right.
Absolutely.
And I like.
Not that he plays enough to do that.
It fundamentally change the game, which I'm okay with, because I don't like huge fundamental changes.
Right.
Are there any out there in the minors that they're testing that are more sort of like transformative?
So in AA, yes, there are some big changes. They are going to actually require no defensive shifting. You're going to not technically no defensive shifting. You're going to have 4 players on the infield dirt.
So you could do the shift, but you can't get the guy in short right center or short left
exactly
center.
Now they also have the option at the second half of the season to require 2 players on either side of the base,
but then they could be in the outfield.
No, same
still
thing.
On the dirt.
Same on the dirt.
Okay, so the last one you just said, if they have to have 2 on each side,
that changes
fundamentally
the game
because it takes the money ball stuff out.
Absolutely, but at the same time, it opens up a bunt even more down a base side.
Yeah.
So again, like, is it going to change the game? Yes, mentally it changes it super fast right away, because you're automatically, like, as a manager, you're thinking, like, oh, great. Now, this guy who always pulls the ball 30 feet or 40 feet into right center field, Chris Davis or someone, now he's going to be getting base hits. So,
well,
like, that's tough. What are you going to do? You're going to walk him so you can pitch to the next guy?
So the follow-up question, obviously, is, well, what do you think of the shift? I hate, like it's funny, Moneyball was such a transformative book when I read it, and then they've changed the metrics, have gone into a place that I don't think Billy Bean ever would have imagined. But they call it first base, second base, shortstop, third base for a reason, right? There are geographical elements to that in the traditional game of baseball. I know games evolve, but I'm telling you, the shift has hurt the game.
I think so, too. And not only that, it just looks stupid.
Well, that, I mean, to the looks of it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, and I always hated why more people didn't bunt it. Like, I always thought that the market forces would take care of itself, and I don't care if it's Big Poppy or whomever, just bunt it, and then eventually they have to play you honest. But
it was just the way the game got played, though.
Just from it's because
they wanted home runs.
Yeah, but it's because baseball's stupid, macho.
Right. That's exactly that's how the game got played.
I'm gonna do my thing. I'm not gonna compromise. Blah 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 blah.
It's the way he goes about his business.
It's dumb. And so if they're not gonna totally adapt to what they're given and have market forces work, like bunt until they fix it, then I'm all for it. Whatever can bust up that cartel of shifts, I'm fine with.
So here's the cool thing, though.
What do you? So you're in favor of?
I like it. I like it. And the cool thing is, we'll be able to witness it if we go to a Yard Goats game.
Right. I'm on board with the Yard Goats 100%.
Yeah, big fan of the Yard Goats. But that would be cool. So we'll actually be able to see it, and that for sure is going to definitely impact the game if that, you know, at that level, obviously, but if it trickles its way up into MLB.
So give me one more rule change.
Okay, so the...
Because I love this. This is great.
So high A ball, they're going to actually do like the Little League rule almost, where you have to step off to throw to the base. Hopefully, again, to increase stolen base attempts.
So they truly want more stolen bases in baseball.
And it has to be... There'll be a ball
called if not.
I don't
really care about that one.
Give me another one. And then they're going to be doing some robot umps in the Southeast low A. So the ABS system, automatic ball and strike system.
The one thing you haven't mentioned, and again, I've said it before, and again, John Senecal, Brian Chapman here on Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Whatever you can do to speed it up without changing the games, I think the pitch clock, the majors are going to rail so much against it that I don't think it's going to happen. But even a little stupid thing like I've said, relievers should not get more pitches on the mound when they come into the game. Like that would shave off 10 minutes a game.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 minutes was.
Yeah, you warmed up in the bullpen.
Stupid. You come out and you throw for 5 minutes.
And some of the guys take forever just walking in. Bring back the bullpen cart.
Oh, my God. I love it with the baseball shape.
Awesome. Why did they do that? Because you know why? Everyone, the fields had to be perfect. That's why you couldn't just go. Does the Philly Fanatic even rip it up anymore?
I don't know.
After they got off the turf?
20 seconds seems aggressive, though, right?
It is aggressive.
So maybe, but assessing a ball is ballsy, right? I mean, that's a gutsy thing to do. I just don't see the union or anybody being able to agree with that, because then you'll get an argument. Is that some pitchers would argue the hitters are holding them up, right? And
It says... Following success in pace of play rule changes in the Florida State League in 2019, the league is continuing to experiment. With this change, there will be a one-timer in the outfield and a two behind the home plate. And the timers will be used in between innings to make sure the pitches each inning is thrown a certain time between pitches. More potential. That's all it says.
All right. Well, we don't know. The bottom line is that I don't think they would. I don't think the union or anybody would go with a one ball assessment if you go over 20, because 20 seems quick. But I think that they have to do something. Cause to me, that changes the game too much, right? But they got to do something
to speed it up,
and that the players will buy into. Because you know what? Every single pitcher, when they had that clock, was like, "Screw you!"
If you could shoot a basketball going down the court in 25 seconds, there's really no reason you shouldn't be able to throw a pitch,
right? But they got them somehow to buy into it. Why they buy into it? Because if you don't do it in 24 seconds, you lose the ball. Now in baseball, are you going to be able to implement something that's going to have that kind of impact? Because no one in basketball is going to say, "Oh,
maybe you get a tenth of your point on your ERA."
No, you have to act. The one ball,
maybe pitching, maybe
the
pitching
one ball
so fast.
Rule would be effective. I just don't think they would be able to get it together.
Well, at least, I mean, they're trying something. I think definitely the shifting is going to be a big difference.
That's something I want to definitely keep an eye on for sure.
We also got to talk about, there's two big superstars in the news.
Let me guess. LeBron.
LeBron.
And A-Rod.
A-Rod. And then there's actually one more.
Who?
Your favorite guy, Red Sox biggest mistake, Mookie Betts.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about him. Okay, let's rip through this because we've been going long
here. So Mookie was in GQ magazine.
Yeah, by the way, some great clothes. I couldn't wear them, but some great clothes. I mean, the biggest takeaway I thought was amazing is that, you know, he basically says, I would have stayed with the Red Sox. I just wanted fair market. And I think his point is like, I like the Red Sox, but I don't love anybody. Like, I'm going to play for the team that wants to win and that will pay me what I'm worth. But the Red Sox offered him at one point early in his career, $90 billion guaranteed. And he said no. And what struck me, John, is that that's gutsy. That's $90 million guaranteed. He's 5'9".
Yeah, and he even said that. He couldn't believe he was actually turning it down.
And he could get hurt tomorrow. Like, guys that bet on themselves and then it cashes in, it to me blows me away.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't know if I would have had the risk appetite to do something like that. The other thing that I was struck was how he was able to go into that Dodgers clubhouse and totally assert a winning attitude. Tell that quick anecdote. That's pretty cool.
Well, that he came in there and he basically told him, well, this is the reason why we beat you.
Yeah, I don't think he phrased it that way, but I mean, yeah, that's basically.
Well, he said that
what
to his wife or whatever, but.
Yeah, he went in the locker room and said, if you guys want to win, you can't practice.
Now, do you think they would have listened if it was like another team, not from the Red Sox? It didn't come in there and beat
well,
him?
Well, I think it was A.
If Carlos Correa walked in there and was
I think people recognize Mookie as like one of the best athletes in baseball, and the fact is, his team had just beaten them.
Yeah,
I mean that's
what I'm saying.
That's fact. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
So,
like, would someone else command that kind? I mean, it's Mookie, right? But would you command that kind? If you just whooped them, they just beat them.
There are
right?
others who could, but very few could go in and do that and have it work. Right. And it worked, and they responded because they have some egos in that locker room too. And so I thought that was, and I think also like a Dave Roberts who has a Red Sox piece of history in his DNA. I think that his support was big too. But yeah, I mean, it was a gutsy move. I thought it was, and I was also amazed that he admitted that baseball is a boring sport.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody that plays baseball, like either you like got to be super into it and really love it, or it's like you just drift away. It's very, right. It's tough. It's tough for, you know, I coach Little League and I coach youth sports, and it's not easy keeping kids interested. And it's usually, you know, the four or five kids that are really into it that are interested,
right?
You know, and that's not an easy thing to change. And if you're not, the problem is you know, baseball is a long sport. It's a boring sport to watch if not a lot of action.
But I like, you know, it's a very millennial point, but he basically said, I let myself get distracted in the right spots because it helps me focus more when I need to be focused on baseball. So it's basically like functional ADD for a superstar. I just thought it was wild. Okay, what about A-Rod?
Well, there's no more A-Rod and J-Lo.
Well, no. I mean, I think they're trying to reconcile.
They're really?
You're not on top of things.
They're not. The brand isn't working as a
so
split?
I think that usually, in my experience in covering news, I've done a lot of stupid Hollywood couples. Usually when this happens, it means they're going to break up, but they want to do it on their terms. So they're going to act like they're getting back together for a while. So then when they break up, it's on their terms. I mean, what was he doing? Having phone sex with some lady?
But wait, whose terms was it on before this?
No, but my point is like basically the media was breaking him up. You know, like they had, like there was obviously some issue between the two of them, and then it broke in the news, and then
there was some reality star or something.
Right, he was like having phone sex or something with, because I don't think he had sex with her, or at least, I mean, I don't know. But I mean, the reports are that there was
he does some real dumb stuff, you know that?
Yeah, seriously, he's got a home run. And he's like, I'm going to give that home run, and I'm going to take
I'm going to take
an 0-2 count. I'm going to take an 0-2 count. I mean, so, I mean, A-Rod, you know, again, like, guys like that, Tiger Woods, they get restless no matter what the situation is.
Now I'm a little upset that I bought his stock. Now I feel like he's losing his touch.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I like the new A-Rod, but I would never invest in him. I just think that there's too much ego and narcissism.
Speaking of investing in egos, one of the biggest egos that people think has the biggest ego on the planet, Mr. LeBron, is part of the Red Sox.
So, you know, you have to know the backstory. Like, he had already bought into early on. I don't know if he spends the money or they give him a couple of percents for his face and his name, but he had 2% of Liverpool.
Yeah.
And they say his investment was $7 million. It's now worth over 50. And I think what's going on with Fenway Sports Group, and they're involved with a SPAC and all this other stuff, they want to acquire more professional teams.
Right.
And LeBron wants to own an NBA team. And so LeBron can't own...
He's building up for after he gets done playing.
That's exactly right. And you know what? If he can help them get another soccer team or another something team, and he can make some money and get the experience of like him just hanging out with John Henry and Tom Werner and seeing what they do. Because basically they bought the Red Sox for $700 million. The Red Sox alone are worth over $3 billion. So they've had, you know, a more than four to five-fold, you know, return on their investment.
And they still got crappy seats.
And they have NASCAR, they have Premier League Soccer. So the point is, like, He sees those guys, and nobody saw non-baseball revenue the way Werner and Henry and Larry Lucchino saw it. They set up
They diversified.
They set up a separate company when nobody else would do that stuff because they didn't have to share the revenue. Right? That's what it was. They're like, we're gonna do this stuff. We'll share the baseball revenue even though our stuff sells like crazy, and we'll go do these things. And now everyone's doing it. But they were the first team to really go into that avenue, and so LeBron wants to learn, and he's making money. I mean, just turn $7 million into 50. You know, for him, he's made, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. It's still something. And you know what? If the Fenway Sports Group of the Red Sox ever sell, he's going to make a lot of money. The hard thing for me is that there's pictures all over the internet of him with this crap on.
Yeah, but now he'll just wear a Red Sox hat and he makes $1 million for him.
Do you like LeBron? Do you like LeBron?
I don't really have any difference about LeBron. I mean, I think he's probably number one or two best basketball players ever, but you know, he don't bother me. I'm totally indifferent about LeBron. I mean, he's freaking good, dude. I mean, there's really like, he's smart. He stays out of trouble. Like, you never hear his name dragged through the mud.
Yeah, he's even cleaner than Jordan.
What I don't understand is, why is there a reason to not like the guy?
Yeah, I don't have a problem. I mean, I don't even have a problem with the switch teams. The take my talents to South Beach was a little stupid, but I think.
Everybody that's someone like that has an ego, right? And sometimes they take it a little too far. You don't need a whole show based on where you're going. You know what I mean?
And I don't even have to like him as a basketball player, which I don't. I mean, I'm anti-Laker, you know, as a Celtics fan. But I respect what he's trying to do with his business. I respect what he's trying to do with his social activism. So, I mean, I could care less who owns the team as long as they don't raise prices too much and they put a good team forward. So I think it's pretty cool if they can go out and do something with it. I have no problem with any of that.
Well, I wouldn't be shocked if you don't see a lot of more athletes doing this stuff too, because it's beneficial to both the team and the athlete.
Yeah, it depends on how he's a transcendent athlete. You know, he is a Michael Jordan. Was able to become an owner because he had such name recognition. He was able to build a basketball sneaker brand into a multi-billion dollar
right
business.
You just say LeBron. You don't need to say LeBron James.
So he's one of those. I mean, Steph Curry can get into these businesses, but I still don't think he's like LeBron in that sense.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
All right, listen, that was good.
Yeah, it was fun.
This fan base, listen, wherever you are listening now, please listen. Please share. You can go to Spotify, Apple. Where else can they?
iHeartRadio.
And of course, you can see our lovely mugs on YouTube whenever you want. But we love the fact that you're still listening, and we want you to share it because it's just like we're like you. We love to talk about baseball and anything else. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. And we'll see you next time on Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.